Today, my dear faithful, is the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist, and it is also the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8. Brethren, I give thanks to God, who hath given the same carefulness for you in the heart of Titus. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more careful of his own will he went unto you. We have sent also with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel through all the churches, and not that only, but he was also ordained by the churches, companion of our travels for this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord and our determined will. Avoiding this, lest any man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. For we forecast that what may be good not only before God, but also before men. And we have sent with them our brother also, whom we have proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, with much confidence in you, either for Titus, who is my companion and fellow laborer toward you, or our brethren, the apostles of the churches, the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them, in the sight of the churches, the evidence of your charity, and of our boasting on your behalf. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. At that time the Lord appointed also other 72, and he sent them two and two before his face, into every city and place, whither he himself was to come. And he said to them, the harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man in the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they have, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Remove not from house to house, and into what city soever you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he send laborers into his harvest. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Early in the 19th century, my dear faithful, a certain priest, whom we shall call Father O'Shea, was the chaplain at a nursing home for poor elderly men. One day, Father O'Shea heard a knock at his door, and he looked up and saw one of the patients, an elderly man named Jim, who had lived at this nursing home for many years now. Seeing him, Father thought to himself that Jim looked as if he had a great weight on his shoulders. The good priest asked him to enter and invited him to sit down. The elderly man walked in shakily, closed the door behind him, and immediately said, Father, I have a favor to ask of you. You see, Father, some years ago, when I retired from my profitable business, I had saved a good amount of money. I had about $10,000 to live on for the rest of my days. The priest was surprised to hear that Jim had saved so much. For $10,000 at that time was a great amount of money. He wondered why Jim was living in a home for the poor if he had so much in savings. Father O'Shea leaned in closer as Jim continued. Well, I was neighbors with a man named Murphy, another Catholic. We had been close friends for many years. But we had a falling out some time before. My conscience had finally gotten the best of me, and I was walking to his house to patch things up when I overheard a conversation. Murphy and his boy were talking loud, arguing, actually. Apparently, the boy had told his father that he wanted to enter the seminary, but his father said it was impossible, that they couldn't possibly afford to pay for him to enter the seminary. You see, Murphy worked hard, but his job did not pay well enough for his growing family, and debts had mounted up. In exasperation, Murphy ended the argument with, "It would take $10,000 for us to be able to send you to the seminary." "Well, Father," the elderly man said, "I turned right around and walked to the church. In the church, I kept thinking and praying. There I was, a single man, no family to pay for, and certainly no hope that I would ever have a boy of my own be a priest. But maybe I could. Maybe I could have this boy be my priest. Then I made my decision. I walked down to the bank and took out my whole savings. I walked to the Murphy's house and found only the missus at home. I dropped the $10,000 on the kitchen table and said, 'This is for your boy so he can go to the seminary.' Then I turned on my heel and walked out of the house before she could say a thing. I went down to this poor man's home and signed myself in." Here Jim paused for a bit. Then he leaned forward and whispered out hoarsely, "He's about to be ordained, Father. But I've just been told that I'm going to move to another home to make room for others. I won't be able to see him ordained. I won't see his first mass, Father," he finished, looking imploringly at the priest. Father O'Shea looked at the man for a bit, nodded his head, and smiled reassuringly as he said, "I will do my best to see what I can do. Since you've waited so long for this day, can you wait a little bit more for an answer?" The elderly man nodded in agreement and walked out in silence. Once Jim was gone, Father O'Shea sifted through some papers and smiled as he picked one up. He nodded to himself in amazement and chuckled as he said, "God is good. God is truly good." A week later, Father O'Shea called Jim into his office. The elderly man knocked at the door and entered. But he stopped in surprise as he found that the chaplain already had a visitor. A young priest sat in the chair in front of the chaplain's desk. Father O'Shea said, "Hello, Jim. I hope you enjoyed your extra stay here and the ordination ceremony. Before you move to the new home, I just wanted to introduce you to Father Murphy, the new assistant chaplain here at this home. Father Murphy will also be sent out once a month to the home that you will be moving to." At this, Jim smiled in amazement. Father O'Shea continued, "And I just finished telling Father Murphy the same story that you told me last week." The newly ordained priest rose, stepped forward, and grasped his benefactor's hand. He began to express his gratitude, but before he got very far, the old man knelt down and with great joy asked, "Father, please, may I have your first blessing?" In today's gospel, my dear faithful, we read that our Lord chose 72 disciples from amongst the people. He then sent them out to preach throughout all of Israel. These 72 chosen disciples, scripture commentators tell us, represent the priests of the new law. After choosing these first missionaries of Christianity, our Lord told the multitude following him, "The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest." Our Lord thus compared the world to a field of wheat, and the laborers are principally priests and religious. Their duty is the care for souls, to help them grow in the love of God, so that at God's appointed hour, these souls will be ready to be taken from this world to eternal bliss. But there are so many souls to be saved that our Lord told them to pray for vocations. Now, as I'm sure we are all aware, on the first Sunday of every month, we set the day apart to do just that, to pray for vocations. We include in this prayer both priests and religious brothers and sisters. As the prayer says, these are the vocations that the church needs. My dear faithful, truly, we do need priests, brothers and sisters. We need people set apart from the rest, men and women who dedicate their lives solely to God. A single priest like St. John Vianney, a single nun like St. Catherine of Siena, or a single brother like Brother Andre in Canada. Each one of these individuals worked incredible good among souls, not only in his own country, for that good had spread far beyond. So many souls were converted through their saintly lives. We, too, need more laborers in our own day. We need more saintly priests and religious. And so, as with every one of our needs, we must pray to God to give us what we need. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. Our Lord gave us this command. God demands the prayers of the faithful for this intention. A vocation is a gift, a call to higher things. But it can be difficult to choose to follow this higher calling, especially in today's world where there are so many distractions. Our prayers for vocations implore God for the graces needed. They buy graces, as it were, for our young men and women to answer this call, to be generous in trampling underfoot the allures of the world. By the help we give to vocations, by our prayers for them, we have a share in the work these laborers do. Because we paid their way, as it were, just as Jim in the story paid Father Murphy's way, they are, to a certain extent, our vocations, our priests, and our religious brothers and sisters. Thus, when these priests offer Mass, when these religious brothers and sisters receive Holy Communion, pray their rosaries, or perform some other good work, we, in a limited way, share in their merits. By praying for vocations, then, we earn extra merit and graces for ourselves. Jim, in the story, gave everything he had so that he could have, as he said, his own priest. Certainly, then, we too can pray for vocations. You can add the prayer for vocations we pray at Mass to your daily rosary, or simply include this intention when you pray it. Ask God daily for the strength that these young men and women need to pursue the priesthood and religious life, and that they will continue to grow in numbers and holiness. God, in his mercy, has visibly answered our prayers. Because of our prayers and God's goodness, we now have 12 priests in the congregation of St. Pius V, including 2 bishops, and 14 young men studying for the priesthood of the Brotherhood, including as well 5 new vocations, the largest class we have had for over 15 years. We also have over 80 sisters and the Daughters of Mary, and soon we will have 4 more postulants as well. God has truly rewarded our prayers for vocations, but we must not take this for granted. Pray for them that they persevere, my dear faithful, and pray that many more will answer the call. As our Lord said, the harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. We have an entire world to convert to the true worship and love of God. And so we need more priests and religious for the sake of your own souls and for the conversions of others. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send laborers into his harvest. By doing so, you will earn a share in their good works. You will truly be able to say, like Jim in the story, that they are your priests and religious. You will share in their good works. The harvest of souls that they reap will be yours in part. Pray then, my dear faithful, pray that Christ, the Lord of the harvest, will send many, many more laborers into his harvest. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.